What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione. And before we get started here, I just want to make a quick note. If you've done rim to rim before and you don't care about the background of it, you don't care about, you know, what you need, the gear, the routes that you can take, the time of year, like, you know it all because you've been there, done that. You can fast forward this podcast to around 19 minutes. And the reason why I say that is because around 19 minutes kind of go into the actual recap of the event, which I know that a lot of you are interested about. So if you've done rim to rim and you don't care about any of the logistical stuff because you're like, Joe, been there, done that, don't care, I know it all, shut up, stop talking, go to 19-ish minutes in the podcast and we'll get right to the recap. Okay, thank you for all for listening, and enough of this little disclaimer. Let's get right in. Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast, a show designed to help you level up your training, crush your races, and ultimately become a better endurance athlete every single day. Whether you're an endurance athlete as a hobby or someone who wants to be the best in the sport, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and today we have a highly anticipated episode for you all, talking about one of the holy grails of ultra running, which I just completed for the very first time. Man, is it a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Let me pull up the calendar real quick because, man, it feels like it was last week. So it was 2 weeks ago. From tomorrow. I'm recording this on May 20th. This will release on May 21st. So it'll be a week from when we release this episode. I did rim to rim in the Grand Canyon with three of my brothers out there in the canyon. Not real brothers, but running brothers, so to say. And you're going to hear from them later in the episode. We're going to have them on to share their experience. You're going to learn a little bit more about them, their takeaways, their advice, and the race through their eyes. I shouldn't say race, because it really wasn't a race. It was more just like an adventure. But we're going to have them on later. But regardless, this episode is not only a recap episode of rim to rim, but also a strategic guide, because if you're in the ultra running world, you have likely heard of rim to rim. It is one of the holy grails when it comes to ultra running, one of those bucket list runs that nearly everybody in the ultra running community wants to do. That is originally why I wanted to do it so bad. Ever since I got into the ultra world, I knew it was a thing. I knew it existed. And living in Arizona, I just knew that one day I wanted to accomplish this thing. And so I was able to do that 2 weeks ago. And I know a ton of people listening to this podcast have either done it or want to do it, which is just super, super cool. And we're going to cover a lot in this episode. We're going to cover a little bit of a recap of the event. We're going to cover some strategic, actionable insights in case you ever plan on doing rim to rim in the future, or even rim to rim, or rim to river, all the variants of the Grand Canyon runs, so to say, the popular runs, I should say. And then we're going to bring on the three guys who I did the event with to come in, share their experiences, their perspectives, because I'm a full believer that, you know, everybody can experience the same thing objectively, but like the perception is always different. And it's so cool to hear other people's perceptions, what they were going through. I even learned a lot of new things from the three guys that I ran with about their takeaways from the race. So it's a super fun conversation. That'll be at the end of this. But the first part is going to be a little bit of a recap of the rim to rim from my own eyes, because in the end, I really focus on the guys a lot. We recorded this previously and putting it in there. And then I'm also going to share you some tips and what you need to know before you dive into rim to rim. So let's get it started. So first things first, if you're unfamiliar with rim to rim, let's just kind of go over what the basics of it is. So it takes place in the Grand Canyon, one of the most beautiful places in the entire universe. But most importantly, what it goes into is basically traversing from one rim to the canyon, which is either the north or the south rim, to the other rim and then back. So if you're unfamiliar with the Grand Canyon, there's two rims. There's the south rim and the north rim. And there's a trail system that connects both of them. There's two main trails. There's down the south rim. One is called Bright Angel and one is called South Kaibab. Both trails connect at the bottom of the canyon and then they link up to a trail called North Kaibab, which goes up to the north rim. Now, some people will either start on South Kaibab, go down, go up North Kaibab, and then back up south. Some people will start down south, go up north, and then come back up Bright Angel, or some people would just, you know, do any variation of that. What we did for ours, we did down Bright Angel and up North Kaibab and then back up Bright Angel. I'll tell you a reason why in a second, but just kind of giving you some lay of the land in there. But that's kind of generally how it is. The total mileage is about, depending on which route you take, because North Kaibab and Bright Angel both differ in mileage. It could be anywhere from, I believe, like 44 miles to 50 miles on the front end. So depending on what route you take, the mileage varies, but it is around that. So it is an ultra for sure. It's a long day. It's a lot of miles. It's a long distance ahead. So that's there. Now the kicker with rim to rim to rim is that it has a ton of elevation gain. It has about 12,000 feet of elevation. And the thing with it too is most of that elevation is concentrated into the middle of the run, because you're going down the south rim or the north rim initially, and then you're going up either the south or the north rim in the middle of it, and then you're going to have to climb out the canyon in the last miles of it. So that's the real grind. Like, not only is 12,000 feet just a lot of climbing, but you're going to have to do it all not on fresh legs, right? So it's not right off the beginning. It's not like a traditional mountain where you're going up on fresh legs. You're going uphill on beat legs. And that's what makes rim to rim to rim so unique. And let me just tell you, it's not even like it's like a gradual grade. It's a pretty steep grade up. Like, those climbs out of the canyon are pretty gnarly. On top of that, the temperatures are pretty wild. So there's really some ideal points of the year where you can do rim to rim to rim, and I'll kind of go over that. But, you know, if you do it in December, it could be freezing ice and snowy and just crazy at the top. But if you do it in the summer, in the bottom of the canyon, it can be 110, 115, even, you know, close to 120 degree temperatures, because the variance between the bottom of the canyon and the top of the canyon really is about like 40-ish degrees. It's kind of nutty. So doing it at the time of year is always a tricky thing to nail down. So although it is, you know, a 48 mile run-ish, and some people might be like, oh, I can do that, 48 miles easy, there are so much things you have to take account, just like the vert, when the vert is, and then also, you know, the factor of what time of year you're doing it at, which I'll kind of give you the suggested timelines of when we did it, which, as I said before, it was last week, so May. But yeah, that's rim to rim to rim in the nutshell. It is just absolutely gorgeous. If you've been to the Grand Canyon on just the rim looking in, it's a whole different experience. It's way more beautiful when you go in there. I mean, it's like, I'm not a guy who really likes to do things multiple times. Like, I'll probably, like, unless I have like a bone to pick with a race or like redemption I need to get, I'll probably not do a race twice, just because I like to experience new things. And it kind of, you know, once I've seen it already, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I've been there, done that. But the Grand Canyon, especially down in the canyon, is one of those things where it's like, I go in there every time and it gets better and better and better. It never gets old. It's just so beautiful out there. If you're curious about some pictures, you can look on my Strava profile or you can look on my Instagram page. It is just stunning. But I'm sure you already knew that, but I had to highlight that out there just because, you know, you are out there for a long time. You're out there suffering. You're out there hot. You're out there, you know, beat legs, climbing up at the end. But man, it is breathtaking. Some of the best running you'll ever get, just in terms of views. So highly recommend it. It is just an unbelievable experience. Now, some things to know, just kind of preliminary in terms of just advice and how we approached it, if you're thinking about doing rim to rim to rim. The first thing is the time of year. That's probably the most important thing you need to figure out. Because again, if you go in the winter months, so think, you know, anywhere from November to March, yes, even March, you're going to be dealing with snow and ice at the top of the canyons, which if you don't have spikes, if you don't have like good ice gear, and then even with spikes, like running on ice is just not ideal. It's going to be absolutely brick freezing at the top. And at the same time, it's just, it's going to be weird because you're going to go down to the canyon. It's going to be a little warm, but you're going to have to bundle up at the top to not get so cold. So you're probably going to end up carrying extra layers. It's probably going to be heavier. It's going to be icier. It's going to be snowier. So the winter months are usually not advised. Now, the other thing too is in the summer months, you're probably going to want to stay away as well because you're going to be in the middle of the canyon, well, the bottom of the canyon, that is what I should say, which is called the box. And that can get anywhere up to, you know, like I said before, almost close to, not actually, but close to like 120 degrees, which is just bananas. And if you're out there for a very long time, it's unless you are really, really smart with heat training and you know what you're doing and you're acclimated to it, I don't know. I don't suggest it at all. It's hot. I live in Phoenix, and running in the heat, you have to get used to it for sure. I mean, even I've been living here for 2 years, and it's still, you know, something I got to manage. So the summer is not totally ideal. Now, the ideal times are really in the springtime. So think anytime April or May. I would say early May because it starts getting hot in late May. And then in the fall months, you know, late September, early October, even early November, if you go, could be okay. I mean, I went in early November with my cousin and did Rim to River, and it was fine. It was a little freezing at the top, but, you know, nothing we couldn't manage. Those are the ideal times of year you want to go, just because it lines up from a temperature perspective and anything like that. If you do go in the spring, regardless, the bottom is going to be hot. Still, it's going to be 90 degrees, you know, it's which is not, you know, a normal temperature for a lot of places. For Phoenix, it totally is. So 90 degrees is pretty doable for me. But, you know, if you're coming from a place like a Montana or Midwest or anything like that, or even like the high East Coast, 90 degrees is pretty sweltering. So the heat's always going to be something you're going to have to manage unless you're doing it in the winter months. But if you're doing it in the suggested time periods, yeah, definitely you're going to have to get some sort of at least heat training or acclimation, or at least have some good strategies to cool down, which I will talk about in here. All right, so that's the time of month, or a year, I should say, the months in the year that I would suggest going to do it. We did it in May, first week of May. It was, you know, pretty decent temperatures at the top. It was like 50 degrees. And then at the bottom, you know, it did get around 100, but luckily it was overcast, during most of the day. So we didn't get too smoked out, which was nice, but, you know, definitely still had to do some heat training, but 100 degrees was very abnormal. We just ended up going on a very, very hot weekend by chance. We had our flights booked and everything, so we couldn't really move it around. But that was, that was fun. I'll kind of talk about that. But anyways, those are kind of like the logistical things you'll need to know. And in terms of like the other advice, I'll kind of just talk through it as I kind of talk through our journey, for the adventure with Rim to Rim to Rim, kind of like in the same format that I talked about my first 100-mile race, because I think it's always great to learn by stories. So we'll take it from the top here. So again, we drove up from Phoenix. I had all my buddies fly in from different places, and we drove up from Phoenix, which is about 3.5 hours away. If you're looking to get to the Grand Canyon from a place out of state, I suggest flying into Phoenix, and then you're probably going to have to drive up, you know, the night before if you're going to start early or anything like that. So we drove, had all my buddies fly into Phoenix, drove up there the night before. We did have some snags, so, you know, we ended up getting there pretty late. You know, I think it was around like 8 o'clock, and then we were in bed by like 10:30. But our plan was to start Rim to Rim to Rim at 5:30, so right as the sun was rising. We wanted to see the sunrise in the canyon, and oh gosh, it was just so beautiful. It was so gorgeous. And I just thought it was great. Like, I wanted that experience to be at 5:30 just because it was the first time for Chemo, who was one of the guys at the Grand Canyon. It was Ben's first time in the canyon, and also his first 50 miler, which the dude crushed it. It was insane. And then Jordan actually started on the North Rim a while back when he was younger and did Rim to Rim with his father. So this was his first time like starting at the North Rim, which was, or sorry, the South Rim, which is super, super cool. So I wanted them to see it and not do it in the dark. I have heard other people, and I have friends who have done it and started at like midnight, and that way you get to the North Rim at sunrise, and then basically you're in the sunlight coming back up. That's totally an option that I've heard people do. A lot of people, when we were talking on the trail, they were starting around like 3:30 and 4:30, so starting off in the dark. I would probably say, like, if you're really looking for time and looking to do it fast, that's probably the ideal route, to do it at like a 3:30 or 4:30. That way you kind of skip some of the heat in the beginning too, especially your first time in the box. So you get to get some good miles and running in. And I think it's logistically a safer move too, because you're not going to be in the canyon so late at night. But for us, we want to start at 5:30. If you're looking to really, you know, get that experience coming down in the light of the South Rim, I totally suggest it. Now, we went down Bright Angel and went up North Kaibab and back up Bright Angel. The reason why we did that is because of two reasons. Number one, Bright Angel is less steeper coming down. You know, but it has more mileage, and we wanted Ben to get his first 50 miler. And so went down Kaibab and went up Kaibab, it would have only been like 43 miles. And we didn't want to do that for Ben. So we wanted to add on some extra mileage. Thank you, Ben. So we went down Bright Angel. It is a less steeper too, just given the big group that we had, we wanted it to be a challenge, but you know, coming up Kaibab is pretty brutal. It's way steeper. So that was one factor in there. The other factor is there's more water stops on Bright Angel coming down. There's no water stops coming down South Kaibab. We knew it was going to be a hot day. I just wanted to take extra safety measures, especially because my first time doing it. So I was like, okay, there's more water stops on Bright Angel. We're going to be fine on water on there. And I didn't really want to have that as a worry point. So that was one reason. And then the second reason is what some people do is they'll start down one trail, either Kaibab or Bright, and then they'll come up the other. But if you do that, you're going to have to hit a shuttle that's going to take you from one parking lot to another. Or you can run there, which no one wants to do after, you know, doing that whole thing, unless, you know, you're a savage and you want to do it, especially because it's late at night. It's usually cold at the top. You want to get into that car. It's nice. So I know probably a lot of people here are saying, dude, why don't you just push yourself and all this stuff? I mean, at the same time, too, wanted to be safe. But yes, I totally hear Mr. Goggins calling me soft here. But anyways, regardless, we just wanted to not just skip the shuttle process, get right into our car at the end, and just kind of have it there. So that's what we did. We put my car there at Bright Angel, and that was our justification for doing Bright Angel. So we got all our stuff. What I carried on me was I carried 1 2-liter bladder of water, and basically that served me pretty well throughout. I know Jordan, one of the guys with us, Jordan Moon, who, if you're familiar with the Everyday Ultra podcast, was one of our early guests. He did it with us. He carried 2 handheld bottles and then 1 extra flask, so he took it a little lighter, but it ended up being okay for him. Chemo, I believe, took a 3-liter bladder, and then my other friend, I believe, took a 2-liter bladder as well. So I would say a 2-liter bladder, if you're going down Bright Angel, should be pretty good. I like to have more water than usual, just in case. I feel like 2 handhelds is not enough for me, especially in a place like where you're carrying all your survival gear and there's really no aid stations, quote unquote, besides Phantom Ranch, which we'll talk about. But that's kind of like the general approach that I took, was the bladder in there. I carried most of my calories on me, and I carried calories on me as if I was going to be out there all day and needed all the nutrition. Now, here is why. I will tell you why. Actually, I won't spoil it yet, but you're going to want to carry all the calories that you're going to have for during the day. There is a chance to stock up at Phantom Ranch, which is basically like a store, I would call it. Yeah, I guess it's a store. Right at the bottom of the canyon, 10 miles in from Bright Angel, you can restock on all items there. But the one thing you got to remember is that it closes at 4 p.m. And so if you miss that window, then you basically have no chance to restock your food unless you're getting it from other campers down there. So as a caution of safety, I would carry all the food that you have on there. Try to keep it light. You know, gels are great out there. Not too much bulky food, so you can store it in a pack, is going to be really, really helpful for you out there. So that is just something to keep in mind. Another thing that I think is beneficial is poles. I use trekking poles out there. They're great. You don't have to do it. Ben did it without it. Poles and made it out just fine. We called him Ben No Poles Holmgren. You don't need them, but they're such a nice to have. So I would say poles, you're definitely going to want a headlamp. You're going to be in the dark unless you're Jim Walmsley or really, really booking it. You're probably going to be in the dark. So you definitely want to get a headlamp and extra batteries out there. And get some electrolytes in too, for sure. Like, those are kind of the prep things. So I say that, you know, before we get into the story and just kind of diving into there. So now here is what the experience was like at rim to rim to rim. Okay. So for the beginning of the run, I mean, it's just a straight bomb downhill. Okay. You're going down into the canyon. It's not like any typical mountain or runs with other vert or anything. You're going straight down into the canyon. And so the beginning of the run, I mean, it's breathtaking. Like, you start to really just drop right into the canyon, and you get to see all these beautiful views out there. Like, just absolutely gorgeous. Man, I don't even know what they're called, like mesas? I don't know. But just these cliffs and this scenery and just these rock formations are just so amazing. And the way that the light hits them is just something else, especially in the morning. And, you know, going down there, like, feeling good with all of my friends there. We're all hyped. We're all smiling. We're actually going at a pretty decent clip. So we were going at like 10:30. I want to say maybe even like, you know, 9:45 at some paces, which I think was a little fast for us, but we were so excited. We were just so happy to be down there, just really just going fast and just enjoying every moment, every sight, and just oohing on and stopping and taking pictures along the way, which is great. Now, the one thing that you need to be aware of just kind of coming down, and one thing that we were aware of, is that, you know, when you're coming down the Grand Canyon, there's all these like steps, so to say. And it's really weird to run on. So like we're kind of hopping all around and everything, and trying to like run downstairs basically. But it's all good fun. We're all going down, and we make it down pretty quickly. Now, the one thing that you're gonna want to realize when you're going down is that you like basically increase temperature so quickly. And again, the top of the rims are usually 40 degrees cooler than the bottom. So if you're going at the top and it's like, you know, 35 degrees and you're all bundled up, you're probably going to be taking that off within a mile. And then you're going to have to carry it the entire time, and it's going to be miserable. You don't want to do that. So I would just say, like, you know, pack a little light, wear a little light coming at the top. Like, you will warm up very, very quickly coming down that ascent. I mean, like, I would think I was wearing like a base layer, and I took that off, gosh, I don't know, within maybe a mile. Like, it was, and then I just kind of carried it as dead weight the entire time. So definitely dress light because the temperature does increase. But we're going down and we're feeling great. We're just having a good time. You know, the first just 10 miles to the river just was an absolute breeze. Like, no problems at all, feeling good, and just feeling great. Stop off at Phantom Ranch for a little bit. We get some lemonade that is just absolutely delicious. If you've ever been to Phantom Ranch and had that lemonade, you know. And if you haven't, go there and experience it. I don't care if you're doing rim to rim to rim, rim to rim, or rim to river. Get the lemonade out there. It's just absolutely unreal. So we stop at Phantom Ranch, get some lemonade. We don't restock at this point because, you know, we're only 10 miles in. We've had, you know, not too many of our calories yet. Still feeling pretty good, going at a good clip, and we're just moving and having a good time. So we're going down. And we start to approach the north rim, and we're at the bottom of the canyon. And this is when it starts to feel like a little hot. You know, we're coming out at around, I think, 80-ish degrees at this point. Now, the thing to know about the bottom of the canyon, which is called the box, it's wide open, totally exposed, no shade, just getting absolutely scorched by the sun. So you're going to be sweating a lot. You're going to be hot. The thing that I did to really, really mitigate that, and this is something that I learned from my coach, Zach Bitter, and it's been just monumental when it comes to running in the heat, is just keeping yourself soaking wet. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I was at Phantom Ranch, what I did was I literally just turned on the water nozzle and I just doused myself in just water, like my shirt, my hat, my shorts, just everything like that. My skin, made sure that it's wet. The reason why you want to do that is because it basically like acts as the same adaptation kind of response that you have when you sweat. The reason why you sweat is because you want it allows your skin to be, moist. And when it's moist, that sweat evaporates off the skin and it kind of creates this cooling effect. So you can accelerate that effect by dousing yourself in water and then having that water evaporate off you to really make this cooling effect, which is just unreal. Like, seriously, it's like night and day. I remember Zach Bitter was telling me, he did it in a race where he just felt like totally shot at like mile 50. And then he just doused himself. And he said it was just like a, snap of a finger, just felt right back on his toes. And, that's how I always feel every time I do it too. So, and it feels dang good. So, douse yourself in water, regardless of whether you're in the box in the canyon or anything else. And it's going to just totally just change your day. So we're running great. I'm feeling soaking wet with all the stuff in there. We're having a great conversation. We're doing great. And then, we all are like running out of water at this point because there's decent stretches between water stuff. I think, I don't know the exact mileage. I want to say like from Phantom Ranch to Cottonwood Springs, which is like the first campground after Phantom Ranch, is like 8 or 9-ish miles, and it's pretty hot, so we're sipping on water, we're getting electrolytes in, we're making sure we're getting that in, and we get to the place and we go to turn on the water and there is absolutely no water coming through the pump. So the interesting thing here is, like, originally when I was there, I was like saying like, oh my gosh, like I'm a dummy, like I should have planned this out better, which the lesson in no matter what is plan out to see if the water spots are open, because sometimes they close them down due to seasonal things and you don't know if they're going to be on or off, and you're going to need to plan accordingly for that. So definitely plan in advance. The problem was, we planned in advance. The ranger said it was going to be open, but it wasn't open. So that was just a whole conflict. So I don't really know what the advice is for that, but that was just not great. So, we tell the story later when we have the guys on, but basically we just had this like little emergency filter and we all had to just fill up our packs because we were doing the math and we were like, dang, like if we didn't, go ahead and basically just have the water on there, like we would have been just absolutely screwed. So make sure you have a filter with you, an emergency filter, in case that does happen to you. If you don't have that, have iodine tablets with you, because there's a lot of water, natural water throughout the trail. It's pretty easy access. There's the Colorado River. There's like a bunch of creeks and streams and waterfalls along the way that you can totally get from. So make sure you have some sort of purification form out there, because it's saved us in this moment, kind of, which I'll kind of go into next why it really didn't. But it will totally save it. I would suggest getting a pretty big filter. Like if you can get like a gravity filter or something that has like a lot of filtration volume in a shorter amount of time, go for that, because we burned an hour just kind of sitting there filtering things out. It wasn't great. So yes, there was that. Filter the water and we headed out. And then funny enough, there's water at the campgrounds 2 miles ahead. That's not to say, I think we made the right decision. It was great. Like, it was awesome. So there was that regards. But then start the climb up the North Rim. And this was the first climb of the day. We got like 6 or 4K of elevation, just kind of going up, up and up and up and up. And the cool thing about the North Rim is it's just so vastly different than the South Rim. So vastly different. Like there's trees, it's green, there's waterfalls coming out the side of the canyon because it has a little higher elevation, so that there's more, I don't know what the right word is. I guess the environment is just better for trees to go and grow and have more green, gets more rain, more precipitation. So it's definitely a beautiful sight to just be up in the North Rim. And, it's one, like when you're in doing rim turn to rim, like it's just so important to just sit back and just watch the scenery around you and just take it in. Like it's, that first climb is tough. Don't get me wrong, like coming up the North Rim, totally exposed, hot, brutal, steep, but just taking the sights around you, it really makes it just a lot easier just kind of going up there. But man, that uphill climb was an absolute slog, and I was just trying to get through it as fast as possible and just really just get through it while still enjoying the moment. And then the cool thing was, you know, I got to lean in the conversations with my friends who were there, my buddies. And, you know, whenever it really got hard or difficult, I would either chat them up or just kind of look at the scenery around me. And that was just absolutely beautiful. So that was the thing that just really helped and just something that's awesome. And if you're ever in, you know, rim to rim to rim or an ultra marathon or anything like that, you know, just going out and just enjoying the moment, there's a power to that. I think sometimes we get so caught up in time goal, or we get so caught up in the finish line, or so caught up in the next aid station that we forget to really just take in the beauty that's around us, whether that's amazing conversation or whether that's just the scenery or both. So just take that in when you're in rim to rim or an ultra marathon. It's just amazing, and it'll help you to not think about the pain as much. So then we get to the top of the North Rim, and one thing that is just, you know, we just climbed all this thing. We're actually, you know, I was feeling pretty good at this point, like feeling really good, not sore at all. Sure, it was a little bit hot, it was a little warm, but I was managing it well with the topical cooling, as I mentioned before. The one thing that just really sucked about the top of the North Rim that I just didn't prepare for was there were so many biting flies. Like, I was just getting bit like crazy. I couldn't stand still because, like, every time I stood still, flies would come at me and just start biting me. So if you have bug spray, like for the North Rim, get bug spray. Like, that was a big mistake that I didn't have, because it was just crazy. But I would say the North Rim too, like, is just because it's just so different. Like, you might not need that bug spray in the beginning of the South Rim because it's just so different. So I would say, like, start applying that bug spray, you know, when you're starting to make the ascent up, and it's gonna pay off in the long run for sure. But man, it was just it was great being out there, just at the top of the North Rim, looking at Kaibab Overlook. Beautiful stuff, beautiful scenery. I think the North Rim is just way prettier than the South Rim, and just thought it was great. Now, one thing that we did at the North Rim, which I would encourage everybody to do, even again, not just in a rim to rim to rim scenario, but also in an ultra marathon, is like we dumped the weight and like the wrappers and like the extra calories from, or I shouldn't say extra calories, you didn't dump calories, and I'll tell you why in a second, but we were dumping the garbage out there to make our packs a little lighter, which is great. The problem was we were at the North Rim, and we were moving a little slower than usual, and we had completely mistimed our stop to go into Phantom Ranch, which I mentioned before earlier in the podcast, closes at 4. And like, we were there at the top of the North Rim at like, gosh, I don't know. I don't even remember the time, but we just weren't going to make it. We were like, we're screwed. So we're sitting there, we're counting our calories, we're making sure that we have enough, we're trading off some stuff with each other just to make sure that we're there. And so we were barely going to make it with the calories that we had. I, you know, again, try to bring in as much as possible that I could sustain myself in one run, but I did get pretty hungry like throughout the run. And like, I was eating a little more along the way because I was burning more calories coming uphill. So I was eating a little more. So I was dipping into my reserves, and I was like, oh God, this isn't good. So I had to just conserve my calories from then on out. And I knew where the water stops were coming back, which is just a good thing to keep mentally when you're coming in, is like, okay, I know I have this water stop here, I know I have this water stop here, I know I can like chug the water on this stretch because it's not as long. That stuff is really, really helpful to know. So I had to get really strategic around that. And you know, there's like a survival element with the Grand Canyon too. It's like, not like you can just go to an aid station and drop out, right? And someone just comes, picks you up in a pickup truck and gives you a couple noodles and just says, hey, nice job out there. You gave it your all, but you DNF'd. You have to get yourself out of the canyon. Like, that's it. Or you're calling like a $30,000 helicopter ride to ship you out. Like, not good. So you have to be like, you have to just realize, like, you have to have the stuff on you to survive. You have to make sure you have enough water. You got to make sure you're hydrating. You got to make sure you're eating. You got to make sure you got enough food. Like, man, I can't stress that importance. And some people go into the Grand Canyon, whether they're doing rim to rim or anything like that, and they just don't, they underestimate it. And then they end up getting shipped out in a helicopter, and no one wants that. It's so expensive, and it's just, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. Like, you don't want to get, yeah, how was the Grand Canyon? Oh, I got shipped out in a helicopter. Like, that stinks. So, all that being said, just make sure you have enough stuff. And so we had to be really strategic at that point. So we're like, okay, that's great. Now, you know, we're 20, I don't know, 25-ish miles in, I want to say. And then we're just bombing this downhill coming down the North Rim. It's nice. It's beautiful. The wind was absolutely crazy. It was kind of nuts, but it was also great, like, that the wind was so crazy because it was kind of cooling us down. You know, it was a little hot, but we were getting cooled down by the wind. And I just remember just running down, just thinking, like, this is just totally beautiful. And the cool thing was, and I know Kimo mentions it later, is, like, you know, you get some alone time with yourself. And you're out there and you're just experiencing it. And it's great to be there with friends and everything. It's great to be there in the moment. But, like, just taking that one just moment by yourself and just having that is just so beautiful. And, you know, me running down the canyon, I was running at a pretty fast pace. And I just remember just thinking, like, this is amazing. This is great. So we go down the canyon and, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. Ben's feeling pretty good. First 50 miler and the dude's just ripping it out there. Kimo's feeling also good as well. Jordan, he's hurting a little bit, but man, he was just gritting it through and just enjoying it and having a good hike. But we're all doing pretty solid at this point. Just kind of just trudging along and just doing what we're doing. And then we get to Phantom Ranch. And the thing was, so Phantom Ranch does have a moment where they open and they only give out meals to, like, people who reserve it in advance. They don't have, like, any store openings, but luckily enough, they were nice enough to just let us in and actually give us some stuff, which was great. So they, you know, I think we loaded up on chips, we loaded up on beef sticks, we loaded up on, I had some Luna bars, which they don't have estrogen in them. Someone told me that they don't have estrogen in them. They really don't. They're pretty good. So we load up on some stuff and we're getting ready for this climb up north, and it's getting dark. We know it's going to be there. Now, here's one thing that I did that I just totally regret, and I wish I didn't do, but man, I was starting to get super, super tired at this point. Like, I was exhausted. I barely slept at all the nights before, and I was just exhausted, and we were out there for so long, and I knew that the climb was ahead of me, and I was kind of, like, catastrophizing the climb ahead, and man, it just got to me. Like, I just like started just to, like, complain a little bit, being like, oh, I was tired and everything like that. And I'll never forget, like, Ben was there with me, and I was like, Ben, like, you know, how you feeling? He's like, feeling good. And I was like, dude, I haven't heard you complain once. And he's like, yeah, like, that's how I roll. Like, there's a reason in that. Like, when you speak it into existence, it becomes real. And that was something that, you know, I knew was advice for myself, and I just wasn't taking it in that moment. And something that I encourage everybody to do, you know, when they're in something, is don't speak it out loud. You can think it, you can have the thought, you can feel it, you can feel that, like, need to quit or to complain or to anything like that. But, like, once you speak into existence, I feel like it just manifests into, like, its own kind of beast. Not to get all energy, spiritual woo-woo, but, like, there's this, I don't know, it just becomes real at that point. And so that was something I did at the bottom. I was like, dude, I'm tired, like, I'm just not feeling so hot. And yeah, that did not serve me well. But I actually luckily had some caffeine on me, had a Bang energy shot, popped that sucker right down, and was about to head up to the South Rim. Now, it was dark, and the desert gets creepy when you're in the dark. Like, if you've ever been in the desert in the dark, you know. But it's, like, especially creepier in the Grand Canyon. There was, like, these noises from, like, animals and frogs and, like, clicking and bugs and scorpions and, like, just all the freaks come out. And the cool thing is, not only do the freaks come out in nature, but the freaks come out in the mind. Like, this is, like, where, like, there's something about the darkness that just brings out the darkness in people in an ultra or, like, a big trek like Grand Canyon, rim to rim to rim. And I just remember just being in this mode of just, like, oh god, I get the chills thinking about it. Just, like, I was like, I'm getting out of this canyon. And it was just like this relentless just push. And I just remember just power hiking up there with Kimo, just stabbing my poles in the ground, just keep on going and just getting that drive and just tapping into that darkness. And man, let me tell you, we tapped into even darker demons kind of coming up. And I'll tell you why, like, right now. So just to give you some context, you know, I actually had a flight the very next morning, in Phoenix International Airport to Nashville to go to work at 9 a.m. Now, the Grand Canyon is 4 hours away from Phoenix. And, you know, the flight's at 9, so I got to be there at, like, 6:30 at the latest. Just because the airports have just been crazy at Phoenix lately. And I don't have pre-check, which is just absurd. And I know, yes, send in your hate mail. I get it. I know I should get pre-check. I just keep forgetting, okay? All right, I'll make the commitment to get pre-check. How about that? There we go. Compromise. Anywho. And I hadn't gotten any sleep the night before, and I was worried that I was going to fall asleep at the wheel coming back, and, you know, it was going to be driving back in the dark. We almost hit an elk on the way up here, and I was like, I'm really doing this for my safety. And there was one point where, you know, we're in a group of four guys, and Jordan was moving a little slower, but he was grinding through. He was just kind of gritting it out. And I was like, I have to run out of here. Like, I gotta get to bed. I gotta get to sleep, because I was already tapped out at that point. I just didn't want to risk crashing. Hindsight 2020, I actually regret this. I wish I could have stayed back. If I didn't have the flight, I 100% would have stayed back. The fact that I had that flight, though, was tough. And, yeah, it was definitely, you know, I think it robbed me of the experience of, like, finishing with the people who I started it with, for sure. I'm glad I did it for my safety, but in the end of the day, I think finishing it with friends would have been better, which I'll tell you why I didn't in a second. Yeah, make sure you don't book a flight the next morning, like at freaking 9 a.m., 4 hours away. Don't do it. But anyways, so what the plan was that Kimo and Jordan were going to stay back, and then me and Ben were going to run up the last, I believe it was 5 miles up out of the canyon. Now, there's still like 4K of gain at this point. Like, it's steep, it's dark, it's starting to get a little chilly, like, it is, you know, our legs are already like feeling pretty toasty. And I tell Ben, I was like, all right, we're gonna have to run out of this puppy. And we literally just start running. And, you know, I think in like a normal state of like gratitude and beauty and like, you know, life is good and I'm enjoying it, I don't think you can like really use that all the time. You need to get in those dark moments where you have that chip on your shoulder. Maybe you remember the people that doubted you, like any of those things, like, oh man, like I just get the chills thinking about it. It's just like this like powerful, just kind of like, I don't want to say rage, but just like anger that you tap into that I think can bring you back to the dead. Now, if that sounds scary, it totally is. You don't want to live in there most of the time. Most of, you know, I live by an 80-20 rule. So 80% of life is in that gratitude. It's in that enjoyment. It's in that beautiful stuff in the moment. And then 20% is in that dark side, that anger, that chip on your shoulder, that rage, so to say. And I think, you know, in the moments when you really need to push it, in the moments that you really, really need to just put the gas on it, you need to tap into that rage. It is power beyond power. But the problem is you can't let it control you, and you can't live in there too long, or else A, you're a jerk, and B, it's dangerous because you start to make really rash decisions. And three, it's just not a healthy way to live. You start, you know, you really start to have your priorities in the wrong places, and it's not good. But in those moments of darkness, when you need it the most, like I was like, I need to get out of this canyon ASAP because I need to go to sleep because I can't fall asleep at the wheel. I'm going to push it. And so Ben and I literally ran up the canyon, and we were just oh man, the things that we were saying, I wish I had a recording of it because it was just so great. We were just talking about grit, determination, and like, you know, all this David Goggins kind of stuff, right? But it was just great. And all I was just thinking about was just like, just tapping into like people that doubted me and anything like that. And we were just running uphill, heart rates just skyrocketing, but it was nuts. We had to power hike, you know, towards the end of it, but man, just tapping into that dark side helped to get out of the canyon. We got out of the canyon together, and it's just that feeling of just like, wow, we did it. Like, we did it. We did rim to rim to rim. And, you know, although that last kind of section of me just coming out was just like an absolute blur, we were just like absolutely just loving it. And I totally suggest, like, when you're doing rim to rim to rim and you're on that last climb, just, man, tap into that dark side. Have some fun with it. Like, really, like, just, because, like, at that point, it's pitch black. You're not enjoying any views. Like, there's nothing out there. It's dark. You're probably tired. You smell like just not good, and you're hungry, and you just want to get out of there. Like, fuel into that, like lean into that, like just man, it's just awesome to have that. And then when you're at the moment, like the feeling of just getting to the top and just being like, man, that was amazing, that was just super cool, finally get to cross something off my bucket list, that was amazing. I think the bigger win for me, though, was being there with Ben for his first 50 miler ever, and just seeing him, his smile on his face, and just like the win of the experience that he had of just doing this amazing trip was just absolutely incredible. Like, You can't buy that. You can't buy that feeling. And that's Ben's words, not mine, but you really can't buy that feeling. And so I suggest like doing it with people who, you know, maybe haven't done, make sure they're trained first of all, but do it with people who like, you know, it's like the first huge win for them. There's just something about that. Just being with people that just, man, are just so happy about it. So I would just say like, just man, whew. It was awesome just to be at the top. And then Kimo and Jordan, who stayed behind us, just because Jordan was taking a little slower and they were kind of enjoying the moment a little bit more, they finished, I think, about 2 hours behind us. Ben, the amazing dude that he is, you're going to hear from him. He dropped me off at the hotel, and then he took the car back, picked those guys up, and yeah, made it happen. And so it was just incredible. And yes, I did hop in the car, made my flight, was exhausted. Let me tell you, I only got like 2 hours of sleep, but yeah, it was great. It was great. I mean, it was easily one of the best runs I've ever done in my entire life, an experience that I wish everybody could do. And if you ever have the chance to make rim to rim to rim happen, do it. It's an unbelievable experience. It's the best 50 miler you'll ever do, for sure. And you make amazing memories. I'm going to definitely try and do it again. I want to try and do a TT of it. Like, I want to see how fast I can go and really just get it. Not trying to go after Walmsley's just insane, like 5.5 hour FKT, which is just bananas. But, man, it's, yeah, I wanted to just see how fast I can rip it. Cause I felt, I was not very destroyed after that. I felt pretty good. My legs are feeling pretty fresh. Like, I felt like I can go like even more. And I felt like I didn't push it to my fullest potential because I was just kind of enjoying the moment with the guys and just soaking it up and in, which I think, you know, if you're doing it for your first time, like, or I should say, if that was your first time in the Grand Canyon, do it that way. It's an experience you'll never forget. But if you want to rip it. Go ahead. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. But I will be back in the Grand Canyon to rip it sometimes. But man, once you get to that top, just enjoy it. It's beautiful. It's amazing. You really just can't, you can't forget it. You just can't buy that experience. So that's enough about my experience. So I purposely left out some parts of the recap because some of the guys, or I should say all of the guys who we did rim to rim to rim with, I had them on a Zoom call and we recorded it, and we are going to share that conversation here, to hear their perspective, to hear what they thought of the race, some hysterical stories, their takeaways and lessons. So I purposely left some things out because I didn't want to spoil some awesome things that they said, and man, there's some powerful gems in there. So definitely enjoy this next part with the three amigos that I ran with. Their names are Jordan Moon, which again, he's the first time, or I should say the first double guest on the Everyday Ultra podcast. He was one of our very first episodes, ran across the country. Dude is a total savage. So we got him, we got my buddy Benjamin Holmgren, and Kimo Clark, all here to share their experiences. So we're going to go right into that conversation to wrap up this episode. And by the end of this, you'll have everything you'll need to go into rim to rim to rim, ready to rock and roll, ready to traverse that canyon, and ultimately have the experience of a lifetime. All right, let's get into the discussion with the three savages I ran with. Let's do it. All right, everybody. So this is the second part of the Rim to Rim to Rim episode of the Everyday Ultra podcast. And I felt like I couldn't do an episode on Rim to Rim to Rim without featuring the savages that came along with me for the ride. So I have all of the people who we've done it. The three, just, I don't even want to call them men because I don't know, warriors, David Goggins, soldiers. I don't know what you want to call it, but something other than just men in here, because man, let me tell you, you bond with people during suffering. We bonded out there. It was a great time. And I always say it's, everybody has their own experiences and they perceive the same events differently. So it's going to be awesome just to hear their perspective, share a little bit about the journey, the camaraderie, the lack of water at some parts, and basically just an overall fun time. So without further ado, we're going to go through and introduce everybody here real quickly. We'll start with the first guy who you actually might be familiar with because he was a guest on the Everyday Ultra podcast, Jordan Moon. Jordan, what's going on, my man?
All right, Joe, thank you so much for having me on, and I cannot wait to talk about our trip together. First time meeting in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, man, absolutely. First time meeting in person. You're the first also repeat guest on the Everyday Ultra podcast. And for those who aren't familiar, Jordan ran across gosh darn country. Man, he's just a real savage, and it was just awesome to have it out there. And then secondly, we're going to go to our man known as Grocery Boy, dubbed in the Canyon, Benjamin Holmgren. Benjamin, what is up, man?
Dude, thanks for having this, Joe. This is it was an unbelievable experience. I'm excited to recap it here, and it's just good to see my homies again.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, no, it's good to see you. Good to be here. And it was Ben's first 50 miler in rim to rim to rim. And let me tell you, you wouldn't even think it was his first 50 miler the way he ran it. So super cool to have him on. And then last but certainly not least, a man who goes by many different names, one of them being Chuck Goggins, but his born and given name to him, Chemo Clark. Chemo, what's up, Mr. Chuck Goggins? How you doing?
Doing great, man. It was cool to show you guys how to be an ultra runner and all my years of experience of how good of a runner I am for you amateur guys in the Grand Canyon. So I'm super humble, and I'm just stoked to be here.
Speaking of humble too, Chemo, as we're running in the canyon, we'll probably talk about this, but we passed some guys and you know, they looked like they were runners, and he goes, "See you at the top." And that was the start of just a fun ride with some guys. But Chemo is an experienced runner, completed the Rocky Raccoon 100 and multiple just awesome races down the road. Could have qualified for Boston despite gosh dang COVID just coming out. But man, he's a fast runner and a good runner. But all these guys are savages nonetheless. So guys, let's kind of dive into the journey, right? So, you know, we all kind of decided to do this, but why? I want to kind of hear from you beforehand, like what really drew you to want to do rim to rim to rim? Because a lot of people consider it, they think about it, it's a big thing in ultra running, but everybody has their different reasons. You know, what were the reasons why you wanted to do it? And Chemo, you know, since you were the last introduction, we'll start with you, man. What was the reason for wanting to do this awesome run?
Well, I got invited. I think I was just, there's a spot on the list. So we're talking about how I think there was like 10 or 12 guys to start with. And then just as it got closer, people just started dropping out. They couldn't handle it, whatever. The excuses just started flying out the door. So it only ended with us four, but I didn't know anything about it. And I kind of knew it was a run through Grand Canyon. I've heard rim to rim to rim, but I purposely didn't want to see any charts. I didn't want to see any routes or watch any videos. I wanted to be totally surprised and just experience it as it was. I've been to the Grand Canyon, but I just wanted to experience everything totally firsthand. And so that's, I really didn't even know too much about it, you know, aside from being picked to join, you know, to jump in on the group. But it was amazing, dude. It was just it was nothing that I expected. It just completely went over the top of what I thought the experience, even in my head, I'm like, I wonder if it's hot or, you know, I climbed a mountain, you know, 10,000 feet elevation. I know what that feels like, but it was nothing like anything I've ever done. And it was way cooler than anything I've ever done. And I loved every experience of it, every moment, all the suffering, all the delays, everything. It was exactly how it had to be. Hanging out with you guys, the conversations just blew me away. Just absolutely loved it, man.
Oh man, I wish everybody listening could just see your smile, like how you're talking about it, man. It's just so big and genuine, but it's true. Like, and it's just awesome, man. Like I'm smiling just thinking about like the trip and the memories. And I think it's so cool how you had like this perspective of like not knowing much about it, because I feel like it makes the experience so much more, right? No expectations, just riding it out and just seeing how it was, and which is awesome. Yep. Benjamin, what about you, man? Like what drew you to do this? Not only this, your first 50 miler, and then what did you think of the experience at the end of it? Because I like how Chemo added, you know, how his experience was at the end of it. I love that. And so kind of building on that, share us your perspective.
When you originally reached out to me, Joe, it was probably in the fall, late fall, maybe winter. So we had 4, 5, 6 months to prepare. And the day you reached out, I remember you gave me two alternatives. Hey, I'm thinking of doing the rim to rim to rim or some other race. I don't even remember what it was. And I was like, I read that sentence and I'm like, say no more. I'm in. And it's because I have this this philosophy, which is that experiences are better than stuff. And I figured that this would be an experience of a lifetime. And I also knew it was going to be long and it was going to be very hot outside and it was going to be a lot of uphill and downhill. And I've learned that you bond through suffering, and I respect you and I respect the group that we got put together. And I'm not looking for a comfortable life. I'm looking for a big life. And I think uncommon people get uncommon results. And so all of this is just like, it comes from my philosophy that I want to go out and experience things and push myself and bond with people who are willing to do the same thing. So to me, it was just like a no-brainer. It's like, you say run 50 miles in 100 degrees, say no more. I'll be there. The experience itself was absolutely bananas. Here's how I've described it to some people. You're not going to be able to see this if you're listening, but imagine my hand near the floor. It's like, this is all my other runs. And I've had some amazing runs. I've done some great races, whatever. Rim to rim to rim was like up here. It was like at the ceiling. It was another universe. It was a completely different run. The endurance factor, just the sheer time, the calories, the staying hydrated, and the amount of time that you're suffering together. It's like, I've done 4x4x48. I've done plenty of marathons and halves and all that. This is a completely different experience. And like Kimo said, I want to change a single thing about the entire day. Like, it was just the whole experience was beyond my expectations. And it was so good. Is one for the books.
Oh man, dude, that was epic. I feel like we got to like contact the Grand Canyon and just like have you as like the spokesperson for like your marketing person to get a testimonial on for it, because that was awesome, man. And I just love, you know, your philosophy of just experiences over things. And I think we all share right. that in here, but man, it's you're right. Like, just to sum it all up of the rim to rim to rim is more than just a run. It's more than just being in the canyon. It's that experience. And like you said, just bonding with everybody in there and the views and the memories. I mean, you just can't put a price tag on that. And so the ROI on your time and money. And I remember you saying that you're like, hey, like I paid X to come out and go for a flight and the hotel and all this stuff. And, you know, but man, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I remember you saying that on the way over, and it just shows that it paid off just by that. So thank you for that. And then last, but certainly not least, the transcontinental runner, Jordan Moon here, man. Jordan, you know, you've obviously did an amazing accomplishment, you know, months before this, which was unbelievable. And you towed the line to do this incredible accomplishment. What was it for you? And you have a pretty interesting background with the Canyon too, which I think is super cool to share. So what was that? And what was your experience here?
All right. So, Joe, when you reach out to me, that's huge, because we got introduced through Ben, and I just thought that we were going to have an amazing group of guys. I thought it was going to be a larger group, but as we discussed, it was actually better that we had a smaller group, four of us. It was more manageable with the adversity and certain things that we came across through the canyon. When I was 10 years old, I went from North Rim to South Rim with my father, my aunt and uncle. And we camped at every single campground and, you know, backpacking. So seeing the canyon again 24 years later was quite a sight for me, because not much has changed geographically. The trails haven't changed. Nothing really has changed. And it was bringing me back in time. I was having moments where I reflected being sitting on a rock with my father. It was moments that I was cherishing with new friends. And I went through a lot of adversity, and you guys were there for me. So new memories were made, and those memories will never be forgot for the rest of my life. And so when you asked if I wanted to be a part of this trip, there was no hesitation. I wouldn't miss it, man. I wouldn't miss it if I was feeling ill, if I was injured. Like I was not the best trained going into this for this climb, but I just knew that I wanted to be a part of this rim to rim to rim, this run I would never forget for the rest of my life.
Oh man, so good. I just love the parallels you made, like of just like I can just imagine like just being in your perspective, just going through and seeing like, oh wow, I was with, and I remember you saying you're like, that's where I was with my dad, and just
later all
us together, like there at that same spot, making new memories, like at one of the most gorgeous places in the world, man, like just unforgettable. And I love how, you know, I wouldn't have chose a better group of guys to come out than you guys. So man, it's just to hear all you guys say you had a great experience just makes me happy too. Cause I could say the same exact thing for me. Like I'll keep my mind super brief. Cause I'm sure I explained in the beginning in the first part, but for me, it was just, you know, I wanted to have the same thing as all you guys had, an unforgettable experience, a challenge we would never forget. I knew it was going to be hard, knew it was going to be hot. But most importantly, just have great memories and great conversations and great running with people. Cause man, you can do solo challenges all you want, but there's just something when you do it with people, not just people, but people who are in the same vein as you, you know, they get it. They have that philosophy on life. They love to push themselves. There's just something about that. And, you know, I see you guys, you know, not only as friends, as but brothers. So thank you all for coming along for real, but let's get into our day, right? Our day that probably felt like 5 years, right? Let's get into the day, right?
All so, right. This is the juicy stuff right here.
This is the juicy stuff. Like seriously, like whole, like country broil, whatever, juicy, just all the stuff in there. But let's take it from the beginning, right? So for those who are familiar with the course at Rim to Rim to Rim, it's a downhill ascent in the beginning. So it's kind of like a reverse mountain. And I just remember bombing down that with you guys and we were just feeling good. But what was that like going for you? The initial descent, which is just so weird to say, right? Because initial ascent is kind of like the thing. But Benjamin, we'll throw it to you first, man. What was the initial descent like going in, and what was it like in your eyes?
Yeah, we started off a lot faster than I was expecting. I think it's probably everyone's all jacked up on testosterone, and the sun's coming up, and we're, you know, ready to rock and roll. And you guys were boogieing, man. I was in the back to start. I'm immediately, like, we're not a mile in. I'm starting to sweat. I'm getting dusted out. And if you've never been to the Grand Canyon, it's that first, like, four or five miles is you just fall. You fall off the edge of the mountain. And it's all this, like, it's like 4 foot steps. And there's logs or rocks like that kind of build this natural kind of semi-natural staircase. And it's actually really hard to run down. Like it's way harder than you might think because it's a bunch of this dodge and weave. And so we're scurrying down. And I know I kind of led at one point, but by the time we got down 4 miles or so of that, I'm like, yeah, that, I mean, we went fast, but my brake calipers were just smoking. My legs were like, yeah, you're wide awake now, man.
Oh God,
you're
something
wrong.
Like, yeah, this is
going to
be a long day.
I didn't even know you calipers. Felt like that. Oh my God, I had no idea.
Ben, we would never have known.
Yeah, we wouldn't have known, man. You were wheeling and dealing like the roadrunner out there, just like absolutely just smoking it. So, which is interesting because like one thing I wanted to say about Benjamin is, there was one part, and I'm sure we'll get into it, where I was like feeling tired and I was complaining and I was just being a poopy pants in the words of David Goggins. And Benjamin, dude, like I'd never heard you complain once. And you're like, yeah, like, have you heard me? Like that's all intentional. And I was like, dang, that hit me. So to hear you say that now, it just makes it so much more powerful, man. And to see it out there. Kima, what about you, man? That initial descent, what was going through your head? What was it like for you?
It was so hard to run because at every turn, it was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen in my life. You know, we started out with that sunrise and it's just like, I have to look at my feet because you are stepping down. It's just stairs, right? You're kind of, and you can't, we're talking about the Jim Walmsley pace, 5 minute pace. I'm like, you have to kind of like gallop, you know, kind of hop. You can't really run unless you time the steps perfectly. You're kind of galloping. You're trying to watch your feet. There's rocks and it's, you know, some dust and stuff. But I'm like trying to focus on running, but then I just come around the turn and we're like mind blown. Like look at the most beautiful canyon view, sun coming up, a little bit of clouds and just, I was just so stoked, just enjoying and soaking up every moment of that. And then, yeah, it started off kind of cool, right? I mean, it was like 30, 40 degrees. So I'm like, when does it get hot? You know, isn't this the desert kind of thing? And you just, oh man, just enjoying every part of it. But then just trying not to let my mind wander, you know, and daydream of how awesome it is and try to keep moving, but still try to watch your feet. But I love that first part, man. And we're so jacked, dude, just the whole lead up, like being excited, and me coming from Hawaii. So I'm coming the farthest, right? And I'm just getting to this place that is so different from Hawaii. You don't have that kind of that landscape there, you know? So just the whole lead up to it, man, I was just so amped, so fired up.
Oh, man. Yeah. As you're saying, like the views on every turn, I'm just thinking about it right now. Like, cause we were just going down, just like, oh my God, you know, and even like, you know, Jordan and I have been in there before, and even us were like, oh my God. And like, I think that's the thing about the canyon. It's like, no matter how many times you're in there, cause even like, you know, we were seeing a lot of the same sites coming down, like the same, especially in the North Rim. I mean, it just hits every time. Like, it's like, wow. And I love how you two are bringing up the point on the steps. Like, those are definitely I think, and like you would think you can bomb it down, but like those steps are just a pain in the rear end for sure, which is just crazy. And Mr. Jordan Moon, what about you, man? Like, so, you know, that descent, man, what was it like for you?
Descent. There's one thing that we did not talk about. So as we're going down, you told me, and it stuck in my head the whole way down after I saw it, because I knew I would see it on the way back up. You're like, this sign right here. You're like, I always see this sign, and it's a man throwing up like from dehydration because of how fast the sweat evaporates out of your body. And I, on the climb up, I was like, if I see this sign, I know I'm almost to the summit. That's how my descent down. I'm like, okay, here's a marker. When I see the sign coming up, I know I'm almost done. Dude, that's all I thought on the way down. On the way down is like, all right, watch your footing. You know, let's get to the bottom. Let's get to Indian Gardens. Let's get to the river. The descent down was kind of, I'm not going to say a blur, but it was like, it was kind of just focusing your footsteps. But that sign that you talked about stood out more than anything.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that sign had such an impact. Yeah. It's like, it's not even like just like a, you know, a stick figure vomiting. It's like a detailed picture, like all shades of vomit, just like so grotesque. And it's like, yeah, I can see why that left a burning mark in the brain, like for sure.
when we're running down and you pointed it out, and I was like, okay, all right. When I see the sign again, we're almost done. You know, like so that is what stuck in my head on the way down.
Well, we came up at midnight, me and Jordan, and we saw a guy. Remember the guy that random guy? And he was bent over, dude. Like his muscles were cramping up, but he was just like from the waist, just bent over, locked up. We're like, dude, we're almost there.
Like, we're almost to the top.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, you're the guy on the sign. I saw you.
You're famous. Can I get your autograph, bro? Oh my God. So good. I had no idea about that. What's interesting too is, you know, you guys finished like 2 hours after me. Or after us, and like I never even caught up about like what the experience was. So like hearing you guys talk about it, and there's a whole details about that, just in terms of me just being dumb with a flight. But seriously, like it'll be my first time hearing like your guys' experience coming out, which is awesome. But anyways, like so the descent, I mean, as you can see, amazing views, awesome energy, throwing up sign guy, steps. I mean, it's just everything you can ask for in the beginning of a run. Now, you know, we're getting down to the middle and starting to heat up a little bit, starting to get a little hot, you know, but we're on flat ground. We're starting to go towards the North Rim, and, you know, mile, like what, we're at like 15 at this point. How are we feeling at this point? Jordan, like, talk to us about when we made that initial descent, we completed that, got after Phantom Ranch. What was that like for you to be in the box, so to say, in the little hot area?
Well, I'm going to rewind real quick. Right before we hit the bridge, we had Chemo look at these guys and said, oh, yeah. We'll see you on the South Rim. Yep. These guys are walking at the time. And did not know that we would see them all day long. So we get over the bridge. Like, we go over the Colorado River. We hit Phantom Ranch. And then after Phantom Ranch, like you said, around mile 15, 16, I looked at my watch and we were hitting a 940 pace. My heart rate was rising. We hit a 940. We hit a 1015. Then we hit 11. We were moving, and everything from the river up to the North Rim is all uphill. So we are only increasing elevation from the river up. So we got 14 miles to gain, and my heart rate raised. I felt like I was dying with the heat. That's me personally. I felt like I was losing a lot of fluids, and the first half of the trip, I was not having enough calories, which was a huge learning lesson, because the second half I managed my calories completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that's how, funny. Oh, go ahead, Kima.
Well, that's funny to me, because like I felt I was undertrained too going into this, and I didn't really have any idea of what to come, but I was super prepared, because every time I run, you saw my pack, which is just extra water bottle, emergency knife, everything, extra food, everything. And then Jordan shows up, he's got these two little water bottles in the beginning. I'm like, bro, you know we're going. I'm like, it's gonna be pretty hot down there, dude.
I was like, not super
yeah.
I do remember that.
We got to the spot that had no water. Was that before the first 15? Oh, that was after the 15. Oh, that was after.
After 15. Okay. Yeah, we got to Cottonwood Springs, and that's where we found out that the Rangers had said the water was open, but the water was shut off. So every single person on the trail, due to probably kind of freaking out if that might be the last water stop, every single person was filling up at that stop from the creek.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. Like, just to, yeah, that was definitely like the first like, oh God moment. And here I am, like, put this itinerary together. I was like, yeah, we did the research, guys, there's water like every 3 miles. And then we get to there and like, we look at the map and we're like, there's potentially no water for like 28 miles. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I felt like such a butthead at that point.
Wait. I believe somebody was supposed to bring iodine tablets. I can't remember.
Yeah, somebody was. His name rhymed with Mo Morcione. Name's passing me right now. But yeah.
Joe Pringle.
That's who it was. Joe Pringle. Joe Pringle, aka me, forgot iodine tablets, because I was like, you know what, we'll be fine, because there's like flowing water for most parts of the canyon, so like if you have a filter or something, like, you're usually fine. But the filter that we had was a little problematic. Benjamin, I know you got a video of the filter. Like, well, tell us about the that experience, trying to siphon water through a straw, basically.
Yeah, that was good fun. It was kind of a funny story. We got to Cottonwood. Is that what it's called? Cottonwood Springs. So mile 17. I have a video of this. We got to mile 17. It's hot by this point. Like, we're well into the day and it's hot. And I think we had eight miles of climbing to go. So we're going to go from here to the North Rim, which is probably another, I don't know, 4,000 feet of gain in the heat of the day. So, and then if the water's off at the top of the North Rim, then we got to come back down and we're going to get back to this spot. We're still not going to have water. We're not going to have water until we get back to Phantom Ranch, which is at mile 40. So we're like, yeah, we have no option. We got to go down to the river here. So we start heading down to the river. I hear this scream, like this little girl screaming. And it turns out it's Chemo leading the head of the pack. The guy's 2 inches from a massive rattler. And he's like, here it is. It's right here. Well, we had seen it earlier and it crossed the path. And then we walked back on, like, backtracked on the trail and then came around this corner. Like, and it was just right there. And he missed it by a billionth of an inch. So We get through that.
No snakes in Hawaii. There's no snakes in Hawaii, just so you guys know.
No snake trap.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Danger noodles.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was freaky. We almost had to helicopter you out. But so we go down to the river, and thankfully Jordan had brought a little filter. So you fill up this bag with water, and then you screw this cap filter thing on, and you squeeze the bag in, and clean water comes out. Well, we had to fill up all four of our packs, like all the way. So we fill up the bladders, we fill up all of our, handhelds, and it just, like, I think we burnt 50 minutes filling up water bottles, like constantly siphoning this water out of the creek. And then one other nifty thing happened. I was excited to see some water. It was getting hot. I pulled off my hat to dip it in the water, and I just bought these brand new sunglasses before we left Flagstaff. Pull off my hat, sunglasses, boop, right in the drink. Those things were gone like Donkey Kong. I never saw them again. I'm like, at least it's not going to be sunny today. 102 degrees, burning up in the canyon. Lost my sunglasses in the first 4 hours. God. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Forgot about that.
Oh man, we were not looking too hot there. We were feeling hot, not looking too hot out there. I mean, between like this like little Capri Sun pouch filter and Ben with no sunglasses, team almost getting bit, like me just absolutely hating myself logistically.
And then the mustache crew rolls up when we're at our low point.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah, the same crew that Chemo said see at the top just comes waltzing by us, like looking fresh. I was like, this is a low point, boys. This is the low point. But we ended up bouncing back like pretty good, like climbing up the North Rim. We got some water at the next aid station. I'm thinking races. That it felt like aid stations, but the next campground, which was like what, 2 miles ahead or something like that, like something real close, full water stream, ice cold, shade. Whole nine yards, yeah. which was definitely a good thing for sure. But we had to climb up the North Rim.
Joe, you got to tell him. So we filled up all our packs. It was like, I think a 58 minute split. It just took us an hour to fill up our packs. So we're like, okay, we got no water. Let's do this. Yep. We're like, okay, let's just, I mean, we know we got another mile to whatever this next destination. We're like, okay, you guys, let's just hit it. So we're just all geared up, like ready to really hit it hard. We run for about 20 steps, it felt like, and the station is right there, full of water, all shady. We're just like, what just happened? We just spent an hour filtering water from the river, and the water's on, like, right up the road, right in the next bend. It is so funny, dude. Like, couldn't have been better.
It was so good. Nobody knew. But looking back on it, it's like, God, we wasted a solid hour.
We did, yeah. And it's interesting because I would say, like, ask the Rangers. But the problem is the Rangers said it was going to be on. So, like, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, it's hard to give the advice. I guess always have a – bring a bigger filter maybe. Like, maybe that's the answer. I know. Sorry, guys. No, it's all, hey, I screwed up. I thought there was going to be water there. But that was, I don't know. I guess the advice is bring a bigger filter. I don't know. Just don't die out there, I guess. That's the biggest thing. But anyways, we get some water, we fill up. Now we're climbing to the North Rim. Who wants to go and take the journey to the North Rim? I'll just kind of toss it up to you guys. Who wants to start talking?
You tell us, Joe. What was your... for you, that next one?
So, you know, it was my first time at the North Rim, and it is just vastly different from the South Rim. Like, same kind of canyon things, but it's so green. There's like waterfalls pouring from the side of like the things. Oh, yeah. And it's more of like a jungle kind of feel as opposed to the desert. And it's like there's pine trees, and it's just like, or aspen trees. I don't even know, you know, the tree etymology or whatever, but it's just like a whole different world up there. And like, although the climb was definitely rough going up, it was hot and everything, I think just being in that new environment and just taking in the beauty just helped so, so much. And it was just great just being up there and just seeing it. And I think that was like the one thing that I just try to do as much as possible was like when my legs hurt or I feel tired or anything like that, like I just try to like enjoy the scenery around, you know, and just really just lean into that or just start chatting up the guys. You know, I remember all of us had some great conversations. Like Kimo, we got to talk about faith. Like, you know, Ben, we got to have so many conversations, especially on that last one, just about like the dark side. We went into animalistic mode. Jordan, we were talking about our goals in life. And so anytime I was in that moment of suffering, I kind of use either conversation or the presence of the moment. And that was just me going up the North Rim, just enjoying it. It was incredible.
I really do think that was unbelievable. I led the back of the pack. It was a harder climb for me, but you guys stayed with me and kept me positive. And when I got up to the top of the North Rim, ate a ton of calories and felt great coming back down. I just remember one thing that stuck in my mind, Joe, when we were going north up the rim, I remember you talking to a lady. I think she was doing the Arizona Trail.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe you got a little bit more information. I feel like she had a pretty amazing story that she was telling you. Could you inform us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it absolutely. It was crazy. Like we're all there like hiking or whatever up this hill. And I see this lady sitting there, like looks like, you know, fresh, just clean, like looks like she's, you know, just in there for a day hike. And I was just chatting her up and just asking her, and she's like, oh, I came all the way from France. And I was like, oh, she probably came to France for like a little day hike in the Grand Canyon, like all this stuff. And I was like, oh, so like, when did you start? She's like, oh, I started like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, what do you mean 3 weeks ago? I was like, just so confused. And she's like, oh yeah, I started from Mexico. And that's when it hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, she's doing the entire Arizona Trail. If you're familiar with the Arizona Trail, it goes from Mexico to Utah, and the Grand Canyon is like one of the last stretches. So she was on like the final leg of her journey, weeks in. Oh, like the whole trail is 800 plus miles. And she just is happy, just enjoying it, doing it for herself. And like, that's like, I think that's just the beauty of just doing a through hike or doing a long ultra or anything. Is like, I feel like even when you do it by yourself, and again, I think it's better with people, but it's still just as powerful, like by yourself to go on this journey. And like, I think the cool thing about the canyon is just meeting other savages out there, right? Like whether it's someone
yes.
taking on 800 miles or someone just doing rim to river, like anyone who endures the canyon is a savage in my mind. I mean, it's not an easy run and a task. So it was super cool to see that for sure.
Yeah. That we're talking about how I think it's 1% of the entire population that ever visits the canyon, even go down to the bottom 1%. And then 1% of 1% that actually do the crossing or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, just crazy. It's a whole nother experience.
Yeah. It's a crazy statistic. Like, and just like, I think there's like a novelty of just doing something that other people don't do. Like, and sure, like some may say, oh, it's an ego thing, but I don't know if it is. I think it's just, everybody wants to be different in some sense. And like, that's just one way to be different. And especially in the ultra community, I mean, it's like holy grail, like not a lot of people do it. Or have the access to do it, or easily, so to say. And you know, we got to do it, so I'm eternally grateful for that. Ben, I don't know if you were going to say anything on there.
Yeah, I'll keep this moving for folks. We went up the North Rim, mostly hiked that, and I'll just tell you my perspective. When I crested the top, we got to the top of the North Rim, and I was feeling fresh. I was like, yeah, this is gonna be a good day. I've never done an ultra. I was 25 miles in at that point. Most I've ever done, I guess I did a 30 miler on flat, but like 25 miles of vert like that was a new thing for me. And when we got to that side, there's like, I didn't tell you guys this, we didn't talk about it, but in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, this is happening. Yeah. We're going to finish this strong. Cause I was just feeling good, man. Like, grateful to be up there, feeling just powerful. And you're not supposed to talk about that because that's ego, I suppose, but it's like, hey, I was just like, yeah, this, we're gonna make this thing happen. And it was super fun. I remember leaving the North Rim and we started running down, and we got to boogie pretty good from basically the top to, I mean, probably 5 or 6 miles. We were humming. I remember I ran with you, Joe, you, Kimo, a little bit. We stopped at the bridge. We did some burpees for good measure.
Yeah, you guys were wild.
We just hauled. we hauled. We went back down into the oven, and it was just super fun. Mile 25 to 35 or so was just a total blast.
I just remember team mustache behind me. They're like, they're doing burpees. And I was like, oh my God. And I got down there and I was like, you guys are doing burpees. You guys are wild.
You can't do rim to rim and not do burpees on the bridge. It's just one of those things. You just, if you add that to the list, it's just a must do.
Right. Like, when are you ever going to be able to do that again? Like, seriously, exactly. Burpees on a bridge in the Grand Canyon. I love it. So mile 35, you know, we just bombed down this. We're feeling good. And then it's time for the final push. It's time for the final climb up. And Kimo, what was that like? Just about to just embark on the big challenge ahead of us.
I just before the climb, I mean, when we came down and then just, that last little section in the canyon, I had another moment there that was just, man, spiritual, just humbling, felt grateful. And it's just the beauty of the canyon. I just can't say enough of it. Cause me and Jordan were in there. We're just cruising, you know, just having a conversation. Sometimes he was ahead of me. I kind of went back, then I went ahead of him. And just to be alone, like, we're in a group almost the whole time, we're always by each other talking and stuff, but to really be by yourself and just experience everything, looking up the walls of the canyon, the beauty, and just being one person there alone with God. That was just, it hit me in that moment of how grateful I was to be able to do something like that. Absolutely grateful to be physically able to have the means to travel there and to experience that. Cause 1% of 1% actually even go down there and experience that beauty, that creation. It was powerful, man. That was probably my number one favorite part of that whole trip. But that happened in that little stretch before we met at the store, and then we kind of reconvened at the store. And then from there, that was the last trek. How many miles is that from the store to the top?
10, right?
So that was the last
10 to the top.
Okay, yeah. And then the mustache guys passed us again, right? And we didn't even know. They like snuck by us, didn't even say anything.
Dude, right before the river.
Bro, what's up with that, dude? We just kept like racing to the last of the pack. I don't know if we passed him, we passed us. But yeah, just that whole time there was amazing. And then that last push up, it was just me and Jordan were just, I loved every minute of it. I, you know, from the beginning, you know, like there's no time limit. We're here to enjoy every part of it, all the suffering, all the, if it took too long, it took too long. I told him, like, dude, if this takes us till the next morning, I'm fine with it. If it takes us 2 days more, I'm fine with it. I just loved being whatever it was. I was in the moment. And I like I said, I wouldn't regret a second of how that whole thing went. So yeah, that it was weird hiking up the canyon in the dark. You know, we spent a good 3 hours or so, Jordan. I don't know, something like that, 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. We got there at midnight. So it's just a whole different experience. And like, that was cool to do that, because when would I ever experience running in the dark in the Grand Canyon? There's, you know, I ran across scorpions, and there's these different bugs and noises, these insects and weird creatures are making noises. I'm like, what the heck is that? Like,
you know, you see headlamps way ahead of, you know, like, there's a headlamp. So it was quite magical when we left Phantom Ranch. Kimo and you, Joe, kind of went ahead, and I had to spend some time with Ben, which was amazing. And the motivation that he shared with me, the words he shared were unbelievable. And the sun went down. The sun literally went down right when we were passing through the Colorado River, and we were making our ascent. And we started hearing it was almost like bighorn sheep. A lot of frogs, like Kimo said, scorpions are running across the trail. So the nightlife started to come alive in the desert as we were making our ascent. And if time wasn't a factor, Joe, I know we all would have finished together, but that was a huge decision you had to make. And I'm so glad you were able to make it back safely ahead of us, you and Ben. After Indian Gardens. So, it was quite a magical night, actually. You know, Kimo and I, we shared great conversation. we listened to some good music, and we got it moving. And I know y'all's perspective was probably a little different because you were trying to make a time limit to get back to, so you could get to rest before your flight.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Ben, I'll let you jump in on this one.
Yeah, let me jump in too, because my perspective from Phantom Ranch to Indian Gardens, that's 6 miles. I walked with Jordan, hiked with Jordan. We may have run a little bit, but if I can just be candid,
it was hiking. Not much running uphill, not much running.
No. I was probably more concerned than I needed to be. But by the time the sun went down, I was like, yeah, you know, when you look in a man's eye and you're like, yeah, he's hurting. That's what it was like looking at Jordan's eyes. I'm like, this guy's 40 something miles in, and we got a long ascent ahead of us. We have 4,000 feet to climb in 8 miles, you know, from the river. Like, yeah, this is gonna, and it's dark. Like, yeah, this is when the sickos come out. But I was falling. I wanted to say this because I've thought a ton about it the last few weeks since we've done finished it. We went in there as a team, the four of us. We were all jacked up going down, and we're there as a team. And I think there's a leadership lesson that I learned in this experience, and it really hit me during this time. I'm not saying, Jordan, you wouldn't have made it out without us. But I was thinking about how you said earlier you were undertrained for this and this and that. You ran across the country. I know you would have made it out of the canyon. But those 6 miles, we didn't say a lot. You know, I shared a few words with you. I tried to encourage you. But to me, ultimately, it was a leadership lesson. And there's, in leadership, the first thing that has to come is the mission. What's the mission? What are we trying to do? And the mission was finish the Grand Canyon with all of us. You know, yes. All of us get out of the canyon. And then after the mission comes the team. The team is more important than the individual. And so the team has to come before me. If I wanted to sprint ahead, it wasn't about me. It was like, I'm going to stay with my man, and I'm going to make sure he's got calories. I'm going to make sure he's good to go. And I gave him my chips that I really wanted. I was like, here's my chips, man.
You helped me so much, man. You have no idea, man.
And it's not about me. The leadership lesson was, it really hit me. It's like, we're here for a reason. If we were trying to make time, or this was some kind of race, that's a different story, but this was the mission we were on. And it doesn't matter how I'm feeling. I'm here for Jordan right now. And this is what we're doing. And it was like, to see that play out and to see you rally like that when we came around that corner and we had made all that ascent without even knowing it. I'm like, dude, I get goosebumps just talking about it right now. Cause it was just like watching you just come alive and finish super strong. It made me so proud to be part of that team and that we accomplished the mission like we did. It was just epic. Loved it.
I love it. Hey, I'll tell you right now, without the three of y'all, it would have been absolutely so difficult to finish. And I don't know if I could have without y'all, and without you guys being my brothers. I don't know if I could have, and I'm so thankful for it. It's a memory. Like I said, I had a memory with my father 24 years ago. This is a memory that will always stay in my mind.
Awesome.
Likewise, Ben. I know it's 5:30, by the way. So do you have to jet?
Yeah, five minutes maybe. Let's say
5 minutes. Awesome. All right. Well, I'll edit this out. Don't worry. But as you were saying, the leadership thing. I know I probably covered this in the beginning. I was like, dang. Well, I totally took the individual over the team to catch a flight in that last part. But for those who are unfamiliar, I booked a flight at like, well, I don't know, 9 o'clock for work and had to be 4 hours in Phoenix. Just did not want to risk falling asleep on the wheel on the way back. But if I were to do it, I know you guys say no regrets. I actually do have a regret on this trip, and it's definitely not, if I could go back, I wouldn't have booked that flight. for sure. I think I would rather wanted to finish with you guys. I would have rather wanted to share that. And I feel like, although Ben and I had an amazing time coming out, like we just went into like some dark places. We were just, oh, it was so gritty. Like we were running up the canyon, heart rate thumping. Like we were like animals, like just like no regard for human life. Just like, oh man, it was amazing. I think I would have, you know, I would have rather just enjoyed it with you guys. And that's kind of like my takeaway is like, you know, enjoy it. Don't give yourself like too stingy of a timeline and like whoever you're with, enjoy it with it. That's like the only regret that I have. And I rarely have regrets, but that one for sure. Like,
hey, we all hug each other at Indian Gardens. We knew what we were getting ourselves into going into that last 4 miles. And you know what? You should not have a regret. I'll tell you that right now. It was unbelievable.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that a ton. And, you know, same echo the words from Benjamin, just you coming out and seeing the video of you just screaming at the top, like, yeah. And seeing Chemo coming in behind you, big smile on his face. Oh man, I wish I could have been there in that moment, but it was epic. Chemo, what was that finish like for you real quick?
Yeah, man. I, like I said, I wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, just the way it happened, just everything about it, man. It's just absolutely perfect.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. Appreciate you listening in. And if you have any topics or guests or suggestions for the show, I would love to hear that because I want to make sure this show is so valuable to you that I'm able to provide all the things that you're looking for to become a better endurance athlete every day. So if you have those things, feel free to send them over to me on Instagram at Joe Corcione. That is my handle, JoeCorcione. And I'd be more than happy to fit it into the show, reach out to the guests that you're looking for, and ultimately give the value that you're looking for. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it. Would love to get more ultra runners and people in the ultra endurance community listening to this podcast, because the more this podcast grows, the better we're able to serve you as well. And so thank you so much again for listening in. I tell you, I do not take it lightly. And remember, my friends, become a better endurance athlete every single day. Take care.